Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much to Mike Boddicker for spending the last hour with us trying to make Nate feel better.
It's a World Cup freeze out.
Are you all right?
I don't know.
I know Nate's not all right. Are you all right?
I don't know. Like I said, you were okay,
but now I'm starting to.
I think it hasn't. I don't know if it will until the World Cup starts. It's a rough one, man. Sad. Sad day.
Do we have our next guest?
We do. Line five.
Well,
should be line one.
Very good. To be able to get a hold of our next guest, who is no stranger to Kansas City and no stranger to this radio station. Used to co-host a show with him. Out of Bounds was on every week right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And now, I'm sure he'd rather talk about something more positive, but we needed someone to come in and help us explain what happened last night. Tony Miola joins us now. Tony, good morning. How are you?
What's up, fellas? I'm not sure I could help you all that much because I need to help myself at the moment. I'm still in complete and utter shock. So, Nate, I feel your pain, brother. I feel your pain.
So, misery loves company. So that's why you can help.
We got a lot of it right now, I can tell you that.
Okay, so there's a lot of different things we need to get to. So first, you tell me, in your opinion, because we've all had different opinions, and Nate said his piece, and Jake as well, and we've talked about what other people said on Twitter and on ESPN afterwards. Where did this all go wrong? This is very fresh, obviously, because they were just eliminated from the World Cup last night, but I'm sure you've thought quite a bit about this over the past few hours and overnight. Where did this all go wrong for the U.S. men's national team?
Boy, I'll tell you, Stephen, this team has been, it's just been a roller coaster, to be honest. If you look at results, if you look at events that have happened, if you look at the way injuries lined up, these are not excuses. These are realities of what happened over the last, what it's been about a year now of qualifying. It has just been, one thing after another that made you scratch your head to a point where a week ago on our radio show, we talked about, I said, you know what, I'm really scared about this. And it wasn't talking as a radio host. As you guys know, you plant things out there sometimes to see how people react. And I was genuinely nervous because I know the history of 4 years ago. I know the history of 1989. I lived it. I was there. I thought, you know, all these things are lining up where the U.S. is in sort of two need-to-win games. You're playing a Panama team, which they took care of. But a team you knocked out 4 years ago at the death, as you guys know, with Graham Soucy's goal, you have a Trinidad team who has nothing to play for except their pride, and they didn't forget 1989 when we beat them to qualify for the first World Cup in 40 years at that point, and everything was sort of lining up for me as I kept playing this thing out in my head and knowing that, you know, these are teams that if with the climate of everything that goes on, and I traveled last night from Spain. I was in Spain for a week. Funny enough, we played Belgium and Russia in our two games with the under-18 national team, and it's a country right now that, for multiple reasons, you want to knock out of a World Cup if you have an opportunity. That's exactly what happens. But as far as I'm looking at the lineup last night, I watched the first half at a bar in Chicago. I watched the second half on my phone. This is a team that should have beat Trinidad and should have beat this Trinidadian side that they put out. And, you know, I think it was a culmination, guys, of everything that had gone wrong. And it was one of those nights you watched the game, and I rewatched the second half when I got to my hotel last night here in L.A. And, man, it just was not meant to be. I feel bad for the guys. I don't question their effort. But on the day, look, you guys cover sports every day. You get judged on wins and losses, and we all do. And they didn't get it done, that's for sure.
When you say you don't question their effort, I always hesitate to question a competitor's effort. But watching watching that game, watching the Costa Rica game that they lost at home in New York City. By the way, had they drawn that game, they would be in. Had they drawn this game last night, they'd be in. It seemed like they were getting beaten to the ball a lot. The other team was to the ball first. They were winning 50-50 balls and challenges. Am I wrong in my perception on that, or if
no.
okay, then what's that? If that's not effort, what is it?
Well, I mean, effort. When I'm with you, I don't know that I've ever questioned effort. Right? You question, did you play well? Did you not play well? But when you start questioning effort, you start questioning the core of a man, you know, and mm-hmm. the core of an athlete. You start questioning, did you want to go to the World Cup or not? I think if you ask these guys, the effort was there as far as trying. The effort just wasn't good enough to get the job done. And I think there's a big difference. So I'm always careful, as you are, to question somebody's effort, because I'd hate to say, Omar Gonzalez, okay, everyone, I was so happy and proud of him last night because he stood up, one of four guys of this entire group that didn't qualify for the World Cup, that stood up in front of the cameras, knew that he had obviously been part of the own goal, didn't feel like he played well, but had the guts enough to stand up there and say, you know what, we messed this thing up. This is all on us. Do you think the guy didn't give an effort? No, right. He gave an effort. It just didn't go his way last night. It didn't go Tim Howard's way last night. It didn't go Altidore's way last night. And think about it, Nate. You follow the game around the world, and Steven, I'm sure you know more than enough to know we kind of pinned our hopes on an 18-year-old,
mm-hmm.
right, for the
mm-hmm.
last 6 months, where this kid should have been the same star that he was, but he needed Michael Bradley. He needed Nagby. He needed Gonzalez. He needed Tim Howard and Altidore to lead the way, and he needed to be a piece of that puzzle that made the rest of it tick. We put the weight of this qualifying over the last 6 months on the shoulders of an 18-year-old kid or a 19-year-old kid, and the kid shined, but we didn't have enough around him, where it should, for me, have been the other way around. If you're talking 4 years from now when the kid's 23 years old, and if we can sort of project his path, I think we put the weight of his of this as it should be 4 years from now for Pulisic. Now we've got potentially our best player that maybe we're ever going to see in our lifetime as he progresses. We're not going to have him in the World Cup with a bunch of younger guys, by the way, and miss a four-year cycle. All those people who said, oh, we'll miss the cycle and we'll rebuild this thing. It might not be the worst thing. This is terrible for the game right now. And it's a huge hit on so many levels.
Okay, Tony Mueller is our guest. All right, Tony, I'll give you some background here, and then I want to get your opinion on this. And so Jake, in the past, has been a Jurgen Klinsmann guy. And he wanted him to stay, and he believed in him. Nate was not a Klinsmann guy and wanted him to go. So now, based on what happened, who was right? Did that still need to happen, or was that a mistake to get rid of Klinsmann?
Yeah, look, I in the end, it said at that time, I said when Jurgen got here, Jurgen was going to be judged on World Cups. Forget all the Gold Cups and forget... So in 2014, he got the team out of the group of death. Kudos to him. When they made the change, I thought it was exactly the time to make the change. Look, I had the advantage of being around camp. Those guys did not want to play for Klinsmann anymore. They laid down. If that what happened in that Mexico and Costa Rica series, that first two-game series, especially down in Costa Rica, the same things were questioned in Costa Rica about effort that were questioned last night by people watching the game. When that stuff happens anywhere around the world, coaches go. That's just the bottom line. That's just the way it happens. And I thought at the time, Bruce Arena, and I still think at the time, it was the exact decision that needed to be made for U.S. soccer, because he was the only guy that understood. Look, Bruce took his blame last night. Some of the players took their blame last night. But as far as the coaching, I think it happened the way it should have. If Jurgen continues to win during that first period, he should have been there. He didn't, and I think that part is just part and parcel for the way our sport is around the world during your World Cup qualifying.
All right, Tony, the biggest reason that I'm so devastated, and there's a lot of reasons that I'm so devastated today, but the biggest one is because of how much I love the sport and because of how much I know, it's a fact, how much the sport has grown and exploded over the past 6 years in this country. And I see this as what you just said earlier as a massive setback to all of that momentum and growth. I mean, a massive setback. So the question's been asked by everyone. What becomes of U.S. soccer now? Where do we go from here?
Well, I think there'll be some immediate changes. My guess, and I have no insight, my guess is, knowing Bruce, that in the next couple days he'll step down as national team coach. We'll hear the same names, and I think what this national team needs right now, whether Bruce leaves now or whether he leaves in December, whenever it is, I think they need a national team coach that's been there, that has worn the jersey, that bled the jersey, understands what it takes to get through CONCACAF qualifying, understands the American player, understands who's coming up. Because I will say this, and I told you I was with the U18 team, I know the youth system very well. I thought this conversation today would be, okay, we dodged a bullet, we got through qualifying, we're in the World Cup. Right now, we need to get younger and we need to make changes. That's what I thought today's conversation would be with everyone that I spoke to. That's not the case. The roster needs to be flipped. This team needs to go young. They've got 2 years to put a young team back on the field. And I can tell you one thing, the youngsters that we have coming up, we have Weston McKinney, who's playing in the Bundesliga, and we got Jonathan Gonzalez, a U18 player in Monterrey. They're spread all over the place. We've got guys in the league that are playing. This is the point where we go young. All these guys, and I also think you will see a couple guys in the next 2 months after this kind of settles in, retire from international soccer.
Tony Miola is our guest. Peter Vermes, should he be the next man to lead the U.S. men's national team?
He will be a guy on the list, no doubt, 100%. His name, along with Tab Ramos's name, who's been in the system, who has taken two teams, two U20 cycles to the last two quarterfinals of World Cups, has been part of five cycles, 2 years. He's been 10 years with the under-20 national team, two as an assistant coach, three as a head coach. Knows the system. Those two guys, I think, will be at the top of everybody's list. And those are the type of guys that I think the national team needs next. Peter would be great. Tab would be great. I don't know. I know Tab is with U.S. soccer. I don't know where Peter is in his head as far as, look, Peter's going to be an international soccer coach one day in my mind. I've never had the conversation, but I can kind of see the path for Peter. And I think he will one day be the U.S. national team coach, whether it's this time around, whether it's next time around. I would be very, very surprised in our lifetime if we didn't see Peter as a national team coach. I would think, again, no inside knowledge at all other than what I sort of feel. I would think Tab at the moment is probably the top candidate because he knows this younger group, this younger crop coming up, but that really doesn't mean that Tab's going to get the job over Peter or over anybody else in the world. But I would be very, very surprised. And quite honestly, I'd be really, really ticked off if we don't have a national team coach. And by the way, Bruce was one of those guys, just so you know. that bled the U.S. jersey. He's a guy that look, this is probably hitting him as hard as any of the players. But this next time around, we need a guy that sort of cut from the mold that I sort of cut out for you guys.
Do you think that U.S. Soccer President Sunil Gulati will still be U.S. Soccer President to name the next head coach?
Oh, Nate. How long is your show? I think if this were anywhere around the world, the president of the federation would also step down with the national team coach at some point. The one thing we have to remember is that we're in the midst of a bid for a World Cup, and don't ever forget how big that is, as we're seeing now, right? And Sunil is the head of that, and I think with that, might be very, very difficult to make a change. We have seen some. We know he's going to have some opposition, at least one, in the lawyer stands up in Boston. We're hearing Eric Winalda may run for this. So for the first time, I'll have some opposition at a minimum, and I've said this for weeks. I hope this brings up some questions. I hope that this opens some doors and makes people listen to people. I'll leave you with this, man. I've been out of the game for so long as a player, but I've been in the game since. We have never had a think tank at U.S. Soccer where they brought in, and it blows my mind because they do it everywhere in the world. They do it at the biggest countries in the world where they bring in ex-players and they have these big think tanks. And what do you think about, you know, going this coaching direction? What do you think about development here? I hope one day we get to a point where we're smart enough to use the resources that we have. And you take me out of the equation because there are better guys than I that are in the game, that have been in the game, that should be helping U.S. soccer at every turn. And it just seems one door after another continues to shut. Actually, the door never really gets opened, right, for guys like guys that are from Meyer and later to help the system. And I know that they can.
Tony, it's it's good to talk to you, even though it was under these circumstances. But you please say hello to your family for me, and hopefully we can catch up again soon. I will. I'll do that. Tony, good to talk to you.
Hang in there, buddy.
All right, pal.
That is Tony Miola, good friend of the show. And we will take a break. What about what he said about Tab Ramos? Does that excite you?
I don't know Tab Ramos as well as I know Peter Vermes. I mean, I feel like I know everything that Peter Vermes is about. And I just don't know. I mean, I've watched Tab Ramos's teams. They've done well at the U-20 World Cups the last couple times around. But I don't know enough about how he approaches things and what his philosophies would be.
Jake?
He's had success at the U-20 levels. Like Nate said, we are all more well aware of how Peter Vermes does things. And I think I've bought into how just the proof's in the pudding. Look at how he scouts talent. Look at how he develops talent on the level of the MLS. And if he had that kind of outreach within the United States for the United States soccer, you know, I think that you could only amplify that 10 to 20 times. So, I mean, my favorite falls with Peter Vermes, but I don't think Tab Ramos is a bad name. He's a guy who's been through the program. He was a guy, one of those guys that was in the original team that put the U.S. back into the World Cup. So, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those guys. But I do think you have to, at this point in time where U.S. soccer is at, you have to exhaust every resource. So it doesn't just stop with those two names.
Yep.
Inside and outside of this country, you have to exhaust every option.
We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.